Welcome to this week's version of the Center's Kingdom Culture Podcast. We are really excited to do a second part version, follow-up with the Mr. Roy Locks, who is a board president at the Center, but also does a lot of work with legacy planning and financial planning. And if you've listened to the first episode, this is a more specific follow-up that specifically relates to the Center's mission. So if you haven't listened to that first episode, I encourage you to go back on the Center's podcast page, champion.org/podcast, and take a look at that to talk about what we're talking about here. But this version is really designed to talk about legacy, the legacy of the Center. It's actually what we're doing and how you might connect to the future and the long term of that. So, Roy, just in case people don't know you, would you share a little bit again about who you are, what you do? So,
I live in Elizabeth Township and have known Merrill and Barb in the Center for about 30 years, met on a marketing call when I came out to talk to them about some health insurance needs that they were considering for the employees back in the early 90s. So the relationship developed, and I've been on the board for a long time. Never had a child here, obviously geographically not connected, but am connected in the Christian community as this education and being involved in helping to make sure that the future generations get a great education. A Christian education is very important to myself and my wife.
And so both Roy and I actively give to the ministry on multiple different levels. And I want you to know that because it's easy to talk about stuff. Sometimes it's hard to live. So Roy has been and Cindy have made many financial gifts to the Center to help. They put their money where their mouth is, so to speak, and their mission is. So do Barbara and I. So this is a practical focus on us looking at the long-term ministry of the Center. So I want to frame that for everybody, Roy, and maybe you can help jump in here as a board president and myself as a founder. And Barb, we've been here for a long time, 40 plus years. And a lot of the questions people say, well, that's been really great, but what's going to happen to the ministry after guys like Roy leave? And what happens after Merle and Barb, you guys aren't here any longer. And so I want to just address that elephant in the room first, because it's really important for us, for people to know that the ministry is more than just Roy or Merle and Barb and a couple other people. But
the company that I started had the same question. It was a brand new company in 1988. And 24 years ago or so, my son came on board, and a year and a half ago now, everything transferred from him over. So the legacy that I was hoping would continue is continuing. It's interesting, too, that his oldest son, 15 years old, going to be a sophomore this year in high school, did a test to determine what would he likely do in his employment after school. When it came out, he should be a financial advisor. So we'll see.
So perhaps legacy upon legacy.
Eight grandkids. One of them has to fit the mold somewhere. But when we come over here, we come over to the Center, that's always been a concern. I mean, we've done innumerable talks in board meetings about continuity here. What if God called you home, Barb home? And over the years, we have taken major steps. You have taken major steps in bringing quality people on who have vision and purpose and are here, not just because there's a paycheck here, not just because there's a job here, because there's a vision here. And when God does take you from this environment, and hopefully that's 20 years in retirement on a golf course somewhere, because I know you'd enjoy that. But wherever that is, whenever that is, steps are being made to have this very large entity here in Westmoreland County, be viable for a long time. I mean, we have the South Campus and North Campus, the new gym, all of the connectivity that's there. It goes way beyond you and Barb at this point in time. And the steps that are being taken by you in putting quality people in place will make that happen.
It's absolutely true. And I think that there's a misconception that people think that, and again, Barb and I are very active here. We do critical roles here. And if we stop doing critical roles here, I'm going to the golf course. I mean, because I don't have any interest in putting time in. But most of the work that we do is not day-to-day operations. It's mostly helping take the organization into the future. And as an example, this podcast, like helping people to think about how do we make sure that providing Christian programs for the family, which is our core mission, goes on and on and lives on and on. And so I would tell you this, that the staff that are here are amazing. God has just brought, and we don't have time to do that. Maybe that's something I should be doing. We might consider that in some of the future podcasts, but how God has brought people from around the world, literally, and across the country to come and join and be a part and put their hands to the wheel here. So the day-to-day operations of the center, I can be gone and am gone many times at meetings and conferences, and nobody worries about whether I'm around or not. I do provide legitimate roles without a doubt. I'm very active in counseling and team building and things like that. But same way with Barb. But there are good operations in place. So just wanted to kind of talk about that this is not I have no fears that the center is going to fold.
Well, you take that, the logical progression that's there. Because those people are in place, the systems have to be in place also to maintain that. And because the systems are in place and the people are in place, those people in our community, where those buses go every day to bring those kids in, where those people come from, the lunch programs you do, the counseling you do, they can rest assured that this is going to go beyond you and Barb, because the foundation has been laid there. You know, the amount of debt that we carry is next to nothing and we just finished a million and a half dollar building project in that gymnasium. This building that we're sitting in, North Campus, South Campus, there's no debt there. Right. So all of those pieces foundationally feed into what we're trying to do, as well as the staffing, which means the continuity can be maintained.
Absolutely. And here's the cool thing about being around a long time. And again, a long time, 40 plus years is not a long time in terms of,
you were quicker and thinner back in that day, bro. You were.
You too, buddy. But the idea is that there's so much groundwork that's been laid, and the opportunity for investment in the future. And again, I'm hoping and praying to be a part of that. So, and I know Rory, you are too, on a variety of different levels. But so let's transition that and think about the opportunity. So I want to talk about where we are in the culture, and I'm not talking specifically at this particular point in time, but in terms of transition. Most of us recognize that Christian worldview is becoming a minority culture, you know, in our country. And we're hoping that that'll be turned around. We've talked about on this podcast multiple times, and encourage you to go back and listen if you're interested. But my prayer is that revival is happening, and that God is still not done with America. And there's lots of cool things going on. But in the truth is that the kind of programs that we provide here with a Christian, distinctly Christian worldview are critical in terms of spiritual development and the church and ongoing. So whether that's Christian education or Christian counseling, whether that's 55 plus work, thinking about giving, retirement, all the kinds of things that we do here, there is opportunity for us to do a lot more.
I think a testimony to that too, Merle, goes to the fact that you have never been associated directly with any one church or any one entity. We are supported by and support many of those churches in our area, but not one of them calls us their foundling or calls us their home. So we are supported totally by the tuition, by the EITC. We'll talk about some of that, the state program for that. And disappointed recently with what the budget is again. I mean, Governor Shapiro may be many great things, but he made promises that are not being kept as far as supporting Christian education. Yeah. Jim Brewster, a retiring state senator, a friend of mine, Democrat, and would love the budget that just got passed, and I'm sure supported it 100%, but this isn't what we were promised. So we have EITC. If you don't know EITC, it's a way that you can take your state tax dollars and give them to the charity of your choice, hopefully the center if that's mm-hmm. your choice. And it means that we're able to pay teachers salaries that we never could before, that the equipment's here, that the facilities are so much better. If you're a business owner out there, part of a legacy, part of an endowment program could be what you do right now with dollars that you're sending to the state. You mm-hmm. should call Barb and talk to her about that. At least get the information and see if it's viable.
It just makes it possible for kids to come to a Christian education that could never come. It provides us the ability to offer them real financial aid. Not pretend financial aid, but they can pay what they can afford. And with the financial aid that supports that, we can make sure that we have good quality programs in place. So again, we'll look on our webpage, champion.org/development. There's an EITC piece. And again, we'd encourage you to do that. Take a look at that. So that is critical, as Roy said.
That's not a down, but that's right now.
Right.
What you can do right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we think about this culture, providing long-term Christian education in the Wild Wild West of education is being turned on its head, and probably rightfully so. And that's a topic for another podcast. But the reality is there's an opportunity right now for Christian education to expand and to do creative things that it could never do in years in the past. And so we at the center at Champion Christian School are really trying to do that, from the early ed programs, from even childcare, early education through K-12. We're doing some really cool creative things. That's all driven partially by the ability to have facilities and opportunities that we're going to be talking about. So carrying that into the future requires some special giving. And so we're going to talk about that today. Counseling is the same way. Some people have insurance and can use their insurance to help pay for counseling. Many people don't. And so there are oftentimes that we're offering financial aid for people to be able to make sure they get quality Christian counseling. So having money for funds to do that. Our 55 plus work that we're doing, Roy, is really kind of exciting. And the opportunity to help people and to be able to provide services to people. We just one of the new programs we're doing is offering some transportation program, and everybody can't quite afford that. And so trying to make sure that people can get there. So
About the gym and silver sneakers? Oh, we're going to be involved there too.
Man,
right?
Is that exciting? We have people out there playing pickleball and just even volunteer opportunities. It's really interesting, right? Because the volunteers there have been people that typically are over 55. You know, they have the time to give, and so retired skilled people and volunteers in there. So our commitment to continue to expand this ministry and continue to have an imprint not only locally, but as many of you know, we do some work nationally and other places. So Roy, let's just jump into that. Again, we've talked about legacy giving, but give us a quick summary for the people that didn't listen to the last podcast. If they want to know more, they can go back there. But the idea that we can move into the future with people being intentional with their stewardship.
We're going to use the word endowment today. I don't want you hearing that word and saying, if I look at an endowment, I'm saying God's going to call on me tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, endowment says that the center can be here way past tomorrow. So don't associate what we talked to today about your own mortality. Associate it with your own opportunity. So again, what we're looking for is the ability to show folks that how they may take advantage of some of the tax provisions that are out there with money that they already have. And typically, many people don't realize the partnership that exists with Washington and Harrisburg when we take those money out of the dollars out of the 401 or the 403 and start using them. And when they realize that, they're a little bit mad. I mean, the government said, put a dollar in, and when you take it out, it'll be $10. We'll give you the deduction on the dollar, but we're going to charge a tax on the 10. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that, it says, well, who's the smart one here? You know. But when that happens, you have options. And if we can look at some of those options today and say, you know, if I did this, it would reduce my tax liability by that. And if that tax reduction meant that there was discretionary dollars that could then not be taken away from my family, because I want my kids to get as much as possible. But if there were additional dollars, could I include a charity in there? And could that charity be the center? Because when we build an endowment in today's environment, we're looking at investment products, CDs, fixed annuities in that 5 to 6% range. And it's a big number. If we build an endowment of $1 million, that's $50,000 a year. But organizations like RK Mellon and these big foundations, they build hundreds and hundreds of million-dollar foundations, and they use it all across the country. We're not looking to do that. I mean, we're looking for a foundation here that could be maybe $10 million and give us $500,000 a year. Wouldn't replace our whole budget, but we could do so much more. Kids could have more staffing, more activities, a bigger facility, and it wouldn't all then have to be leaned on to take care of the cost of doing that. That our government promised us they were going to give us, but they just decided it wasn't important enough to take care of our kids. We'll fund something else, and I won't go into what else that might be.
Right. So the other pieces of this, too, is that this is targeted, too. So somebody says, well, look, I don't want to just give to this big pot. I'd like to add another piece, another wing on this gym, because I'm coming down to use it, and I want to make sure that we have more equipment down there. I'd like to make sure that seniors are taken care of. You mean, I'd like to make sure that there's a benevolent fund. We can do those kinds of things, too, with this. So it will be very, very flexible and tied to what donors want to see happen.
Well, the center, if it's anything, has been universal in trying to grow the lives that it touches. I mean, obviously, started with elementary education, right, and then went as far as high school, and now the soccer field and the track are down there. There's, I'm sure, people walking that track every day and exercising. The opening of the Wellness Center associated with the gym and the Silver Sneakers program, and that the ability to do Christian concerts. You're going to have a concert coming up pretty soon. And, you know, you check the website out and see when those are and where they are, because great resource. And we used to do them outside, and then it would rain real hard, and we said, we can't do that. But now we can put 500 or 1,000 people in a gym, and the rain can come, and we can still sing and have a good time. So
absolutely,
a lot of neat things are happening. So if you have a heart for giving, and if you have a heart for Christian or entities, take a look at Champion as one of those entities. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are other places in your heart, but maybe because you had a grandchild go here, maybe you were you had a child go here, maybe you had a neighbor's kid who go here, and you see the difference that it made in their lives. Maybe that touches you and say, you know, if I could do something, and if I could do it with money that's going to go elsewhere, tax money, maybe it would be something I could investigate. So we will make individual times together. We can find a time where we can talk. I'd like to sometime in the future, or maybe on a regular basis, teach a couple of the retirement classes that we teach at the universities here. They're about a three-hour session where you come in, and we do talk about charitable giving, but we talk about long-term care and Social Security and a whole bunch of other things as well. So center could be a resource where we do that on a periodic basis, but those all feed into what we would do on an endowment planning as well.
Absolutely. And so we want to kind of drive you to think about this. Again, I'm going to encourage you to go back and listen to last podcast. Think about it, first of all, conceptually. And it doesn't really matter, as Roy said. This doesn't matter if I just have a small amount of money to think about, or whether it's a large amount of money. That's not really the important here. Obviously, it has an effect about what you can do. But the reality is, we're encouraging people to think about kingdom building long term, well beyond their life, well beyond their lifespan. And again, not to take money away from kids, not to take money away from your health, but for when you've done good planning to do this. So let's talk about some of those opportunities. Now, we are working on a website. It's not available yet, but it's going to be champion.org/legacy, and we'll have some resources there. We talked about it, Roy. You're going to come in and maybe do some classes periodically.
I don't work too much anymore. I'm 71, so I'm not, I will do whatever I can to support this, but it's not about me and building income for my family's income is taken care of. What we're trying to do is take care of the future generations that are here. Mm-hmm. If we can build an endowment program, that means if the state doesn't come and give vouchers, we can reduce what it costs for a family to be here. More families will come. More kids will benefit from Christian education. That's my purpose here. So as long as God leaves me viable and I'm able to put two sentences together, I can do that. But it's no longer an income situation for me. It's just an opportunity.
And that's, we want to make that clear. And it's the same thing with me here too. For me, it's about building the future, you know, and making sure that the Christian community, and whether that's driven by revival, which has happened and could happen. And again, I'm going to just keep encouraging people to look back at some other stuff. I mean, if revival happens, there needs to be a place to support that. And that, and the church is the core place of that. But paraministry is where you're learning about how Christianity fits into education, to worldview, to counseling, to mental health. Those kinds of things is really, really critical as well. So as we work on those things, I want to encourage you to really think about that, pray about that, look at some of the resources, and then kind of begin to think about that. Allow yourself to think about how your stewardship can go beyond your current lifetime here while you're in heaven, or even while you're retired and having fun too, kind of thing. So, Roy, what are the key things that you think are important to move people from, oh, I'm just going to run into the end of my life and not think about it, and to think about giving here? What would you see are key points?
I think some of the leveraging factors that happen, for example, as opposed to taking an RMD and having that come to you and making a charitable contribution, which means that RMD came to you, that requirement distribution from your 401 came to you, as is reportable as income, which means you're in a tax bracket, which would be higher, which means you're maybe paying tax on Social Security that you don't have to, mm-hmm. as opposed to having the RMD distributed directly to the entity. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you get the same tax deduction, but you don't report the income stream, mm-hmm. which means, again, you may be eligible for other benefits. So mm-hmm. just understanding the nuances, how I can do something, which is exactly what I want to do, mm-hmm. but in a different fashion and advantage myself and the entity that it receives it. If you don't have that knowledge, you need somebody that can help provide it.
So it sounds to me like the first step people have to do is really begin to pray and ask the Lord to give them a vision for their financial
future.
Is it
on their heart? Right? I mean, yeah. Because obviously if it's not in your heart, it doesn't matter what the advantages are. It's not in your heart.
Yeah. And tax deductions are only good if you want to do something with it, right? I mean, some people, I'm going to maximize my money, but we're not talking about that here. We're talking about maximizing your resources to accomplish kingdom purposes. And in this case, we don't care if somebody does that and then takes it to their church or some other place. That's not our concern. But this particularly, this focus of this podcast and some of the tools we're doing is to say we want to see the center be able to move forward. And so let me give you a couple strategies, folks, if you're out there thinking about this, because everybody loves the fact that we're a mission-based organization, and that's incredible. But you have to think about there is a cost to saying to a family, you can come and get a Christian education for, again, for maybe 3 years of preschool and 12 years of or 13 years of education. And it's easy to say, it's great to say, hey, look, we're going to ask you to pay what portion of your income that you can afford to pay. But again, that doesn't necessarily pay teachers' salaries. It doesn't pay for buildings. It doesn't. So it requires mission-minded giving to be able to happen. Like, and we talked about EITC, that helps a lot, may not be there forever, or may end up with strings on it that we can't deal with down the road. We cannot, because we are not willing to compromise our Christian mission to do that.
And that's been demonstrated in years past when the board has refused to take federal money because of the strings that were attached. Yeah. So you won't take dollars that are coming from governmental sources if it requires us to compromise our Christian beliefs.
Right. And that is a very, very difficult and fine line to walk. We talk about this all the time. But we will use every resource to make sure the kingdom culture can be incorporated. So whether it's education or whether it's counseling, and think about this, it's one thing to say, well, hey, Dr. Skinner, you know, you'll see somebody and we'll even have a benevolence and doesn't cost anything to come and do that, or costs a very small amount. Well, that's great, but that takes up time. And so we can only do that in such a limited way. If we can have funds to do that, we can hire other counselors. We can do other kinds of things. And the bigger thing is, for me, the future. I mean, when I think about the 55 generation, Roy, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. I mean, there's not enough workers because we're all aging, right? But that aging is more than just being taken care of financially. It's about being taken care of spiritually and practically.
I always throw the abortion statement in there. If we would have not aborted 300,000 babies a year, they would be in the workforce right now, and they would provide caregivers, but they don't exist.
Right. So, and it's really hard when you start looking at some of the services, even on a small level, that we can leverage. Like, we have food services, we have transportation services, we have counseling, we have some other things. We have workshop and educational services. But those, again, all cost money, and they cost workers. And so as the workforce is thinning out, you know, many people laugh about things like Catholic education, say you can't have Catholic education with nuns teaching anymore because there's not enough nuns around. And so it's true in Christian ministry. It's not fair for us to hire somebody out of college and say you're going to have to sacrifice and not have things for your family to work here. People are going to always have to sacrifice, but we are to the point now, and we want to continue to build that, where people can come out of college, come to work here, and live and retire here, you know, and not have to make sacrifices that are unreasonable for their family. So this is the type kind of giving we're talking about. So I want you to look for that website as it comes out, if it's not out already by the time you're listening to this. Once you look for classes, actually financial planning classes.
We'll probably do those periodically, and they're not scheduled yet. But you can always call Barb if you listen to the podcast and say, hey, when is the next one of those coming up?
Right. And we should be able to find that on the website. We're going to be doing some making resources available. And the reality is there is opportunity for giving. So we'll be targeting some of that. But again, I want you to think about how God could use you to provide for the future. And that's the way I'm thinking, Roy. I'm like, how do I make sure that this ministry, what God is doing here, lasts well beyond my lifetime? Not just as the executive director and a founder of the Barb and I've done, but even financially, what can we contribute so that maybe the next people that come in don't have to make some of the financial sacrifices at the level that some of our staff have had to.
EITC has moved us so far down the road in being able to pay staff a living wage.
Right.
But as you said, there's no guarantee how long that'll be there. We need Pennsylvania to move to voucher programs. Mm-hmm. We need all states to do that. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the next administration will realize that on a federal level and be more aggressive about helping our states to do that.
Absolutely. So you can find out more about that. We'll be having guests on there talking more about some of those kinds of things as well, too. But Roy is going to be Roy's the board president because he is mission-driven, although we're working with his partner firm Synergy to implement some of these kinds of things. Roy's heart has been here. He has demonstrated that for a long time, like we've talked about. And he has the gift. If you can't tell from listening to him on thing, he does have the ability to see big picture financially. So Roy, let's close with some prayer. If you don't care, I'm going to go ahead and close this one. I know I normally ask my guests, but this is really on my heart. And so I want to ask the Lord to move people to really begin to think about how they can make a difference long term. So God, we all have resources. Some people have more, some people have less, but Father, we're all given resources to steward. And so, Father, wherever we are in this particular moment in time developmentally, like whether we're young and maybe thinking about, hey, maybe there's some people that I know that should really, we should talk to them about looking at this. Whether it's ourselves, Lord, that we are in retirement and saying, hey, wait, I have enough to take care of my family and I have enough to take care of me. And maybe it's time for me to think about investing in the kingdom at the center in a different way. Whether it's somebody in between and we're just need to look at, Lord, I pray that you would give us a real vision for your kingdom and for planning for and giving to your kingdom in ministry. And Father, we do pray for the center's long term and for the future, for the staff that will come, for the families that will come, and for the future, that Lord, that this place would be a place where people would get to know more and more about you and how to integrate them in their lives. Lord, we thank you for this, and we just give this whole new venture of establishing legacy giving and endowments in your hands and your heart, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Roy, any closing comments?
It's been great and continues to be great to be associated with the center, to know God's work is being done here, and to see how it will be done here for decades to come.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what God does with this, Roy. And thanks for being here, and thanks, listeners. And again, want to remind you, if you want to know more about the center, go to www.champion.org. If you want to listen to podcasts, go to champion.org/podcasts. We will, if it's not up by the time you get there, champion.org/legacy.
If you have $500,000 and want to play around at golf, give Murrow a call.
Yeah, we'll talk about we can talk about giving, what can happen out here too. And if you are local, well, even if you're not, if you're driving through from California and you're a listener and you want to find out what's actually going on inside here, let us know. But send us an email to info@champion.org or call us at 724-593-9200. Ask for Barb, our development officer, and we'll be glad to tell you more. But this is an exciting time. So thanks again, Roy. Always appreciate having you.
Thank you.